Chapter 8. The Major at the Monastery.
"I remember him well," said the Major. "Good-looking boy. Fair hair. He wasn't in my battery. But I used to run into him pretty often. Poor devil. Poor devil. Up at some monastery place, I'll go and see him."
"I'll take you there myself," said the atheist. An unexpected opportunity of getting in touch with the cripple had presented itself. Except for that fleeting glimpse from his car, the atheist had not seen him since his return to the monastery a week ago. His instinct had told him he would not be welcome there. However, common courtesy would prevent any unpleasantness on the monk's part if he appeared in the role of the major's friend. Good manners obviously demanded that he should conduct himself there on his visit of sympathy, and present him to the cripple. Most timely! The major and he had met and recognized each other in the hotel lounge half an hour before. Their last meeting had been at the front during the war. As gunner's officers, they had served in the same battery.
"Are you all right going again yourself?" asked the major, interrupting his thoughts. "You were nearly done in, weren't you, that night on the ridge? I never saw you again after that wipeout. Did you ever find out who it was? The man who got you back?"
"No," said the atheist. "I never saw him. I was unconscious. He seemed to have got me down to the dressing station before I came round. That was all I could discover."
"I found out later who it was," said the major in a guarded tone.
"Did you? Who was it? Why didn't you let me know?"
"I was not allowed," the major replied.
"He asked me not to let you know."
"Oh.
But surely you can tell me now."
"No, I don't think I can. He made me promise. As far as I can see, I am still bound by that promise. I haven't seen him since the war. I only asked whether you knew because I thought you might have found out yourself."
"Oh, well," said the atheist. "If you can't, I won't press you further. But I wonder why he didn't want me to know."
"Yes," meditated the major. "I wonder why."
The following afternoon, they started off for the monastery. They left the road halfway up for the path across the fields. The atheist thought that by entering the grounds at the side of the monastery, they could reach the garden where the cripple would probably be, leaving Brother Anselm unaware of their arrival. In that case, he might get a few minutes alone with the cripple. It could be suggested to the major that he should look over the monastery and the church, famous for their architectural beauty. His surmise was correct. As they entered the garden, the cripple could be seen in his ambulance, under the trees, and alone. He was reading a book. It seemed to absorb his attention, for the two had almost reached him before he looked up. He regarded them for a moment with surprise, a perceptible annoyance clouding his face as he saw the atheist.
"Well, do you remember me?" said the major.
The cripple looked hard at him. The annoyance changed to a smile of recognition.
"My dear Major, yes, it's you. Where on earth have you blown from?"
The major proceeded to account for his sudden appearance. The atheist fetched a chair from the arbor, and the other sat down at the cripple's side. There would be no chance yet, he thought. These two must have their talk first. He strolled about, examining the flowers. There was an unpleasant look on his face. He had noticed the cripple's annoyance at seeing him. He had also noticed the book he was reading. It was a religious one. The major and the cripple were soon engaged in animated conversation, recalling old times, the days with the gunners at the front. 20 minutes passed. The atheist began to get impatient. The monk might turn up at any moment. "I'm anxious that you should look round the monastery and church. They're very fine specimens. 15th century.
"Eh, what?" said the major. "Oh, I don't know. I'm not much of a hand at architecture. I'd sooner have a powwow here, I think."
The atheist tried again. "Come for a moment, then, and get a view from over there."
"Excuse me," said the major to the cripple.
When they were out of earshot, the atheist put his hand on the major's shoulder. "Would you let me have a few minutes alone with him? Something confidential, you know."
"Certainly, certainly," agreed the major. "I'll look round for a bit to the monkery. 5th century, you said?"
15th, replied the atheist, and he walked back towards the cripple.
"Make a fine barracks, that," said the major to himself, surveying the great front of the monastery.
As he stood there, a side door opened. A monk came out and walked in his direction. The major raised his hat as he approached, and then stared. Brother Anselm, for it was he, bowed, and stared too. Then simultaneously they stretched out hands.
"Well, I'm damned," exclaimed the major. "It's the duck!"
He gripped again.
"Heavens alive, man, after all these ages! Yes, it's the duck! But what are you doing here? What's this get-up?"
"I'm a monk now."
"Hold me up," said the Major. "It'll take a couple of stiffs to bring me round." Brother Anselm laughed and put his arm through the other's. "Dear old Major, it's awfully good to see you again. What are you doing here? Going to join the order?" They sat down on a bench nearby and began questioning each other, the Major relating his meeting with the atheist at the hotel and his discovery of the cripple. Brother Anselm had never come across a cripple at the front? No. He would like to know more about the accident. He couldn't quite make out the atheist. "He never told me you were here." "He doesn't remember me," said Brother Anselm. "He has never recognized me, though I knew him at once, the night of the accident. He knew me very little out there, but I knew him rather well, you see." "And didn't much care for him, if I remember right. I could never quite make him out myself, though he was pleasant enough in the mess." "Oh, yes, he was pleasant enough."
"I wonder why you... Well, you know."
"Never mind that," said Brother Anselm, his grey eyes searched the Major. "Remember, your promise still binds. You remember it, don't you?"
"I do. I had to remember it yesterday. We're talking about that night. He's never found out."
"Don't let him know you knew me out there," Brother Anselm sounded peremptory.
"Doc, you're the..."
"Cut it, man, cut it. I might as well mention that he and I are not on the best of terms."
"That so?" replied the Major. "He didn't seem to mind coming up here. Insisted on bringing me himself."
"Bringing you? Is he here now?"
"In that garden part, yes. He wanted a few minutes with... What's the matter?"
Brother Anselm had suddenly risen and was looking in the direction of the garden. His face had become grave. "If you don't mind," he said, "I think we'll join them."
"The devil," muttered the Major. "There's going to be trouble."